Thank you very much for inviting me and Charlotte. And I always like to say a few words before I preach so that you can get used to my accent, because I have a French accent, and sometimes it's a little bit hard for born Americans to understand a little bit how I pronounce things. And then we have three kids who are actually grown up, and they still say, "Dad, you sound funny," you know. So I tell them, "I can't help. There is no way. When you are already old, you learn a new language. You put it on top of the old one, and it sounds a little strange." But don't worry. As soon as I start preaching, I forget about the accent, and the Word of God will come to you. Let us read the Word in Mark chapter 3, the Gospel of Mark, the third chapter, Mark 3, verses 13 to 15. I move about. I don't stay in one place, so I hope you guys over there won't have trouble. So, Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. I'm reading in NIV version. Mark 3, 13 to 15. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Let us pray. Lord, I pray as I open your word and explain it to your people that you would send your spirit to speak to us this morning. Lord, I come from afar, far away from Africa to share the good news to your people right here. We are one body. And Lord, I pray that the power of your spirit may be displayed here so that those who do not know you may know you, and those who know you may grow. We give glory to you, and we surrender to yourself, to you, me first. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Three conditions to be a missionary. Three conditions to be a church. Three conditions to be a Christian. Three Jesus gives us in the passage we just read. The Bible says Jesus went to the mountain to pray, for sure. But then after that, he called his disciples and then picked 12 of them. And he called them by a special name, apostles, which means the ones that are sent. But then he just lists three things. The first thing is he called them so they could be with him. The first reason he called them, that they may be with him. The second reason is that he may send them to preach. And the third reason, he sent them to have authority over demons. Three conditions. You cannot be a missionary. You cannot be a church. You cannot be a pastor if you are not with Jesus first. And second, you cannot be a missionary if you don't preach the good news. And third, you cannot be a missionary if you don't have authority. Be with him, preach the gospel, and have authority. These are the three things that we should remember today. So then I wondered, why be with him first? Because a missionary, the first thing a missionary does is to go. Go out. Charlotte and myself, some of you do get our mailing. We always go to Africa from January to March. I know exactly why we run away from Michigan. You know? But then we go. Missionaries are meant to go. A church is meant to go out in the community. No, says Jesus. Mission does not start by going. Mission starts by being. Missions, church, does not start by going out in the community. Church and mission start by being with Jesus. Why do you have to be with him? Simple, for two reasons. One, to know him personally. And second, to know his doctrine, his teaching. That's why he started. He did not send them, go, go, go. No, no. Remember this. Matthew 28, the one that sends the people, is the last chapter. The last chapter. He never sends those who have not been with him. You have to be with him. Why? Two reasons. One, so you know him personally. Second, you know his teaching. And I wondered, why do you want to be with them? Jesus literally lived with the disciples, his disciples, 24/7. He had them with him 24/7. Actually, Charlotte and myself traveled to Israel, and then we went to the Genesaret Sea, where Jesus lived. They showed us the house where he lived in Peter's compound. He had his little house there with Peter's family. He babysitted their kids. Listen, somebody said something I love a lot. Christianity is not only taught, but it is also caught. Christianity is not only taught, but it is also caught. I would say it has to be caught first before to be taught. We are in trouble because Christianity has become a head religion. Because you believe the right stuff, you are a Christian. Jesus says, no. I want you to be by me so you know me well. I'm sorry for Gary and Linda because we're staying at their house. They don't know me. They should just ask Charlotte, what kind of a guy? Oh my, trouble. No. It's weird. I have my own way. I do things. Stubborn, you know. Then that's the way it is. You can't be a missionary if you're not a stubborn guy. They had to live with him so they could know who he is. Who is Jesus? You can talk about Jesus if you don't know him personally. You have to know him. And Jesus gives a very wonderful description of himself in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all of you who are burdened and tired, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from you. And I like what he describes. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Jesus describes himself. He tells us who he is. He says, you know what? I am gentle and humble in heart. That's who Jesus is. And then you will see that in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. You will see John saying, what we have touched with our hands about Jesus. We just didn't learn about him, about doctrines. We touched grace. People in Israel were shocked when they met Jesus. Because see, the Pharisee was there. He would come with authority, with all kinds of pride. I am the law. I am this. Jesus came humble, tender. And you guess what? The prostitutes and the tax collectors flocked to him because they could sense he did not judge them. There is one thing about Christianity. It is the religion of tenderness, of grace. Jesus wanted the disciples to be with him so they could touch grace. They could touch mercy. They could touch gentleness. They could touch humility. They could touch love. God's grace and love is not a theory. It is a person. That's why he wanted them to rub him so they could sense what grace is. It's not a theory. It is a person who tells, come to me, all of you who are messed up. I will help you. That's my own translation, you know. Only when you have been touched by God's grace and tenderness that you can share it with people. Christianity has become a religion of angry people. We have to defend what? Nothing. We have to get them struck. When they see us, this guy is different. Not because we have the argument, because we are the argument. Because we are that tenderness that just, you know, when babies have something, they are like harmless. You carry them, they make you just smile. Until they pee on their... that one, you don't want that. You know, Charlotte and myself have been babysitting our grandkids all night. I love my grandkids. I hug them until they poo. No. Charlotte, you deal with that. You need to be with Jesus so you can learn tenderness and grace and mercy. But you also need to be with him so you can learn his doctrine. Heresy kills. You might not understand that. I am a missionary. I work in Africa. And I see what pastors teach. It's crazy. Because they never went to seminary. They never studied the word. Pastors don't know the Bible. They teach whatever they fabricate. Heresy kills. You have to know Jesus, but you have to know his word. You have to know this Bible. Number two, before I go to two, I ask you a personal question. Have you been born again? Have you met Jesus? You know, people come to church because they bring them over there by their parents. They come because it is part of the culture. No, Christianity is not a cultural thing. Christianity is a personal encounter with Jesus. I'm challenging you, if you don't know Jesus, at the end of the service, I will be at the pastor's office. Don't come, just go to your own pastor. He can deal with you. You know, because then I can't rest. The pastor shall follow him. Go to him, say, Pastor said I could come to you and you're going to lead me to the faith. Sorry, Pastor, but you got to work a little bit. Number two, three conditions. The first one is you have to be with him. The second condition is you have to preach the good news. Folks, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Powerful place. What do we teach? What do we preach? 2 Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. We have to preach, but what? You have to be with him, beautiful. You done that? But you have to go and preach, but preach what? We are in trouble because the church has lost its message. Paul says, I resolved to know nothing else but one thing, Christ. And him what? Crucified. The message of the gospel is the cross. It's not global warming. It's not social justice. It's not abortion. It's not human rights. No, those are nice things. You can do them outside of the church. In the church, we have one message. The message is Jesus Christ and him crucified. We don't exist as a church to care about global warming, no. We don't exist as a church to worry about social justice, no. We don't exist as a church to worry about abortion, no. We exist for one thing only: Jesus Christ and Him on the cross. The blood of Jesus is what fixes global warming. The blood of Jesus is what fixes social justice. The blood of Jesus is what fixes abortion. All those problems are symptoms of a bigger problem: sin. Nothing removes sin but the blood of Jesus. We have become a church that is distracted. Politics, economics, social issues. I'm not against those. Understand me. Those are fine issues, but they are not the gospel. I don't run around Africa there to make Africans look better. No. I don't run over there for social justice. No. I don't run over there. The UN can do that. I run over there to present one person. His name is Jesus Christ and His cross. Without the cross, we got nothing. Without the cross of Jesus, we have nothing. Without the shed blood, we got nothing. Because it is that blood that fixes my problem, that fixes your problem, that fixes the world's problems. I resolve to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'll sting you a little bit. How many times during this past week you pronounced the name Kamala Harris or Donald Trump compared to the name Jesus Christ? Just a simple question. How many times in your mind last week the thought of Kamala Harris or Donald Trump came to your mind compared to the thought of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? What is hanging on your fridge? Pastor Paul's missionary picture or Bible verses? Oh, I like you to have my picture over there. Nice, fine. The devil is so smart. Get them distracted by politics, by money, by other things. They will not talk about Jesus. They will be worried about other things. Guys, we are toast if we don't talk about Jesus. We are toast if we don't talk about the cross. We exist for one thing: to tell the world that Jesus Christ has come and shed His blood on the cross so that we can be fixed. America needs Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus. That's why when I see people, you know, our country is declining. Nope. As long as the cross of Jesus is there, we can never decline. Because Jesus is the solution to every single problem. Oh yeah, I believe it. That's why I scream it too.
Preach it.
Now, don't tell the people who come to the second service, I give you the best. The people from the second service will get the shorter version, okay? Okay. Now, I'm also telling you, I will tell the people at the second service that I saved the best for them. Number three, because we have to finish there. Number three, the number one was you have to be with Jesus. The number two, you have to preach the cross. Nothing else. And number three, you have to have authority over demons. Now, Paul says something very, very important in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. For the God of his age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the glory of God. The mind. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they may not see the light of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The devil does one thing: puts blinders on people so they can't see Jesus Christ. Missions, church, is about spiritual warfare to remove the blinders. Guys, If you don't believe in Jesus, I'm sorry, you're going to hell forever. That's the most important decision that somebody has to make during their lifetime. Guess what? Many people don't care. They don't care because they are dumb. They are not dumb. The devil made them what? Blind. They can't see. Missions is spiritual warfare. Mission is breaking the power of the devil to blind people. How can you really kill your own unborn baby? How can you do that? How can a woman who's pregnant just kill the baby? How is it? How can you go and kill your neighbor with a gun? How can you do that? How can you do crazy things? Yeah, because you are blind. The devil has blinded you. You don't see. We are not powerful because we know we scream the gospel. No. We are powerful because we have authority. Three things the Lord has given us to do mission work: to be with Him, to soak up grace, to speak the gospel with power, and then to take authority. Right now, America is under constant attack from the devil to blind us as a nation so we don't see the cross, so we don't see that Jesus is the only one we have. You know what? Spend more time praying and taking authority over this nation. This nation was founded on God's principle. I love America. You know why? Because it's the only nation. I don't know if there is another one on earth that I read on money, a dollar bill. They wrote, "In God we trust." I have become so rich, I even don't have one. I only have 20s. But, you know, I noticed that "In God we trust" is only in one, on one. It's not, oh, there is on 22. Behind here. This is the only country in the world where the whole money thing. Look, "In God we trust." Oh, my. That's why I switched my nationality. I became an American. Yes. A nation that testify in God we trust. We have to keep it this way. We have to stand strong, not politically, but spiritually, to break down the spirit of abortion, the spirit of killing, the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of whatever that is threatening this country. Three things: be with Jesus, preach the cross, stand your ground spiritually, and fight. Amen.